You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Oil Spills Podcast. It's Wednesday, May 22nd, 2019. I'm host Craig Ellingson, and I'm joined by hockey beat writer Jim Matheson of the Edmonton Journal and the Edmonton Sun. Today, we're talking about coaches and the Edmonton Oilers. Old coaches, specifically. Craig McTavish, the Oilers bench boss for the first eight NHL seasons of the 21st century, lately senior vice president of hockey operations, and now a former member of the organization after he left last week to coach in Russia. Then there's Ralph Kruger, head coach of the lockout-shortened 2012-13 season Oilers, who was hired last week by the Buffalo Sabres as coach after leaving his chairman's job in the English Premier League with Southampton. He had recently said he wasn't interested in returning to the Oilers. And did you know Dwayne Sutter was once an NHL head coach? For parts of two seasons with the Florida Panthers in the 2000-2001 and 01-02 seasons. He was let go from his job as Oilers head of pro scouting earlier this week. So there's been plenty of movement surrounding the Edmonton Oilers since Ken Holland was hired as general manager and president of hockey operations 2 weeks ago, with more to come. The team is expected to hire a new head coach very soon, and the trade rumor mill will continue to churn as the NHL draft approaches. It's just a month away.
The fan in Edmonton wanted Ken Holland to come in and basically blow everything up except Rogers' place and get rid of everybody. That's not quite the way it works. Craig McTavish got the job coaching in Yaroslavl in the KHL for 2 years as a coach. He's a really good coach. So when Ken Holland talked to him in San Diego when the Oilers farm team Bakersfield was playing, Craig let him know that he had something else going. He wouldn't say what it was, but a couple of days later he said he had a coaching thing. So that Ken never got around to, you know, whether Craig was going to come back or not. Craig already had a coaching job. So that leaves open a vice president of hockey operations in charge of the farm team with Craig leaving. And I don't know if that would be up, Keith Gretzky's alley, but, senior vice president in charge of the farm team is a move up the ladder from being assistant general manager under Peter Chiarelli. So I think that makes some sense. As for Dwayne Sutter leaving, I think Peter Chiarelli worked in a vacuum in a lot of ways in terms of making deals. He made an awful lot of them in his 3.5 years as the order general manager. And I'm not sure how much he listened to his pro scouting people, but when you're the head of pro scouting as Dwayne Sutter is, I guess if a shoe's going to drop and the orders haven't won a lot of those trades, I guess you got to look at the pro scouting end of things. And Dwayne was heading up the pro scouting, so he won't be back. And at least, Ken is making the move before the draft, before they make any deals and such, that if Dwayne's looking for another job, he can, the time to get one is at the draft. So that's the move there. And now they need a head of pro scouting, and I don't know who that would necessarily be. Mark Howe was the head of pro scouting for the Detroit Red Wings, but I don't see him leaving Detroit to do that. They have a couple of good Western area pro scouts in Archie Henderson and Bruce Harrelson, who've been doing that for quite some time. I don't know if they would step up. I don't think Scott Housen's going anywhere. I mean, that's the fan wants Scott out as well, you know, because he's tied to the past. He made a 1-hour presentation at the pro scouting meetings and all the prospects for the Oilers, and that's what he's mainly been looking at the last year or so, looking at their prospects, playing junior, playing college. He scouted college for free agents and such. I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't know what his title would be. Right now he's a vice president of player development, whereas Dwayne said it was player personnel, which is more the pro side of things. So, but like I said, there's lots of changes, and J.J. Hebert, also the Oilers head of public relations, won't be back too. He's been here a long time, and he's a good man, and he's done a good job.
You know, if you had, you know, Ken Holland coming in, obviously he's assessing the situation, assessing who the people are and what they do. And I don't know, I mean, whether or not he thinks they should be part of the future moving forward. I like to think that's, you know, these moves that are being made, whether it's McTavish leaving on his own accord last week, whether it's Dwayne Sutter, you know, essentially being shown the door. This is Ken Holland in every way making decisions.
Ken Holland having full autonomy to do whatever he wants.
So these are the moves that he's making because this is what he...
That's why we signed on for. He said, okay, I want to be able to talk to people, interview people, make decisions on my own, and I'm not coming unless that is part of the five-year equation, that I can make my own moves. And he's a very smart guy. I don't think he's, by no stretch of the imagination, is he a scorched earth kind of guy. That's just not the way he is. I don't think he's a guy who comes in and says, let's get rid of everybody and start over. But I think, you know, he has to make some moves as a new general manager. If you just, not to say that the people who aren't coming back, McTavish and Sutter, are bad at their jobs, but if it's just still status quo and all the only change is the new general manager, that probably isn't the way it usually works either.
Yeah. I mean, if Colin does come out and tell us why, I mean, he might not, but I would just like to think that at the end of the day, without having to say anything, Ken Holland is delivering the message that, we need to make a change in that area. So that person's gone. I'm fine with Scott Housen staying in the organization because maybe he saw something in Scott Housen that he likes and he wants him to be there. That's what I would assume that the takeaway is.
I think so. He's dealt with Scott Housen and Craig McTavish when they were general managers, and he was a general manager. So he knows them from a different picture show. So I think Scott Housen's going to stay in probably whatever role he's in now, player development. And the inference being, when you let people go from the organization you're moving to, is that he'll find people on the organization he just left. I'll just wheel in some different people from Detroit. But unless he's offering them a different job that's better than the one they've got, the team's just going to say to you, no, that's just a lateral move. You're not hiring my pro scout to be your pro scout, say. Or you're not hiring my head of player development to be your head of player development. You have to make him an assistant general manager or a senior vice president and give him a raise. It's not the same salary and such. I still think Tyler Wright will wind up in Edmonton. He's the director of amateur scouting. I still think they have a history together, and Jeff Finley is the chief scout there. One of those two, I think, will wind up in Edmonton. But anybody else, I don't know.
Yeah, at one point in time, Todd Wright wasn't a part of the Red Wings organization. At one point in time, another former Oiler and
captain. He was part of the Gretzky trade.
That's true.
He was one of the, you know, he was in that that era where they were getting draft picks and you know, when Gwynn got traded to LA and the owners took Tyler Wright, I think 12th overall in 1989, I believe. I'm not sure if the second pick was, that was the pick they got in the Gretzky trade, but it was the next year they started getting extra picks for the Gretzky trade. And Tyler played briefly for the Oilers, not a long time, but was a pretty good junior. And he's from Western Canada too. So
I remember him being, I mean, since he was a number first round pick, and, you know, people around here getting a little bit excited, maybe because it came in the wake of, you know, a whole lot of trades of the old Stars coming out. But, you know, people hoping, oh, and will this guy end up being one of the top liners? Well, that didn't pan out that way. But of course, that's how everybody thinks about first round picks, whether you're 12th overall, first overall, or 25th overall. There's always that, you know, people want to grab onto hope.
Well, and if you're a good junior in Western Canada, they think that in an offensive junior, they think you're going to be a
an offensive NHLer. Yeah.
And he came in 89 when there was still a good team until 92. Mm-hmm. And then the bottom fell out. And then for four more years, they missed the playoffs. So those 3 years he was drafted, it was tough to make the Oilers because they had pretty good teams.
Yeah. You know, and I'm thinking that, and I don't have a computer in front of me here, I'm not going to whip my phone out and look up Tyler Wright, but I'm pretty sure he was like maybe 91 or maybe even 92. Because they got some first-round picks from the Kings
for three years in a row.
After the 88 trade. So yep. Anyway, so I'll put a nickel down. I'll bet you it was 91.
I think you're right. In 89.
Where's my nickel?
89, I think they traded the pick one of those years.
Hmm.
It was 89, 91, 93 they had the picks. At 93, the Nick Stajihar, I believe, okay. That's one of their first rounds.
So maybe it was 93 then. Okay, well, here's your nickel back. Maybe okay. I'm wrong.
That is a long time ago.
Yes, it is. 25-plus years ago. But, you know, in talking about Tyler Wright, but Tyler Wright came to the Red Wings not being part of the organization at some point. I mean,
he was in Columbus. Ken, he was in Columbus at one time.
I mean, he was, you know, Ken Holland or whoever did the hiring, I would assume it was Holland, brought him in because, hey, this guy, we want him to be a part of our staff.
And in fact, Ken, he could have been in Columbus when Scott Housen was the GM, and then he went to Detroit.
Yeah. Right, ended up with the Blue Jackets at the end of his career, right? I think, if I recall.
Again, I don't have Hockey DB in front of me, so I don't know.
There we go. We should all these history lessons. No, that's from like 20 years ago.
We didn't expect you
to
be grilling me on Tyler Wright.
Who was their 12th playing career? Name the expansion lineup of the Blue Jackets in 2000.
Yeah.
Okay. Next time we'll have our laptops open or something.
Yes.
Obviously, Ken Holland's going to have to be hiring people to bring in. And obviously, we're just going to have to wait and see.
I'm sure he'll keep the amateur people as they are through the draft. Why would you bring somebody else in from some other organization? Usually, you bring somebody else in and they say, well, you can't take part in you know, the Oilers draft because you know who Detroit's going to be picking. So they just say, you got to step aside. So the amateur scouting hires usually happen after the draft. And the amateur part of things has been working quite well. They got some good prospects in the minors and they've drafted some good people lately anyway. So
the big thing this week, I mean, outside of having the Dwayne Sutter news today, is they're going to hire a head coach here pretty soon. You say that they're going to be, by the end of the week, we should have a new head coach.
I think we could have a hire a head coach by the end of the week. I think he's going to interview some people this week. I think the person he wants, I still think Dave Tippett is a leading candidate. I think there's a feeling that they need an experienced coach in the Pacific Division with Todd McClellan in LA now and Peter DeBoer in San Jose and Gerard Gallant in Las Vegas and Bill Peters in Calgary, they won't be hiring a first-time NHL head coach. I think some of the people he's interviewing might be assistant coaches on other teams in the NHL. I don't think they want to go down that road. Now, whether if they interview Dave Tippett, whether he checks off all the boxes, I presume they've got some questions to ask whatever people they want to interview about the style of play, about coaching the best player in the world, Connor McDavid. What kind of style do you want to play? Here's the style we want. Can you play it? Can you coach that style? You know, those sort of questions. Coaching a team in a Canadian market, you know, is it different than coaching a team? If it's Dave Tippett, say, he's coached in Dallas and he's coached in Arizona. He hasn't coached in Canada. How will that work? But, you know, I think he's pretty, knows the market in Western Canada pretty well.
He's a Saskatchewan guy.
Yes,
isn't he?
That's what I mean. He's another Saskatchewan guy. So that's the owners hire a lot of Saskatchewan guys, whether you're Todd McCullough or Trent Yanni or Glenn Gullitson, they tend to hire a lot of Saskatchewan guys.
Why is that?
Because that's where all the great coaches are from.
I suppose that Dick Irvin was from Saskatchewan too.
Probably.
But, you know,
I wouldn't be surprised if Glenn Gullitson's also one of the people getting an interview. He's been a head coach, you know, two other spots, and he's a good coach, and he was on the staff last year. So why wouldn't you interview him?
Yeah.
But I don't think, say, if, I don't know if while Dan Bylsma is on the Detroit staff, no, I don't think he's a candidate. He's a veteran guy. I wouldn't be surprised if Jim Hiller, who works for Mike Babcock, who was in Detroit with Ken Holland, might be a consideration. Because he's coached for quite a long time and on good teams as an assistant coach.
Now, Todd Nelson was a name that, has come up over the last 2 weeks.
They haven't gone to Jim Neal as of yesterday to ask for permission to talk to him.
So that says something.
Yeah. So I think Ken has perhaps interviewed some people on the phone. I don't know if he's had any face-to-face interviews, but I think he's maybe interviewed people on the phone. So the next step is to bring a few of those people in.
Now, another experienced NHL head coach, mind you, it wasn't seasons and seasons worth. It was a lot of seasons. Season worth was Ralph Kruger, hired last week by Buffalo. Former Oilers head coach during the 2013 lockout year. And obviously Kruger's name came up, right around the same time as Holland when he was hired here because he left Southampton, the Premier League job in England that he had these last 6 years as their chairman. You talked to Ralph Kruger or Terry. I know Terry Jones did. The story was Ralph Kruger wasn't interested in returning as a coach necessarily, maybe more of a president role perhaps.
But there wasn't that job offered, obviously.
I guess not.
So he's a coach at heart.
And he discounted.
I don't know why.
Discounted the owner's job.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. He's probably one of those guys, I've been there, done that. I'm not coming back to coach where I was before. I don't think, put it another way, I think people are crazy to think, this is a risk, hiring Ralph Kruger. You'd think the guy moved to Saturn or Neptune or something while he was in Southampton and didn't pay any attention to the NHL. He knows tons of people in hockey. He watches lots of games. He was coached the World Cup team in 2016, so that's only 2.5 years ago, not 6 years ago. And why would he be any different than if the Oilers hired Dave Tippett, who hasn't coached for 2 years in the NHL? How is that any more of a risk than Ralph Kruger getting hired by Buffalo? You're a coach, you're a coach. And Ralph, liked an up-tempo style when he was at Edmonton, and I'm sure he'll do the same in Buffalo.
Thinking about, once a coach, always a coach. I mean, McTavish going to Russia, and this is a bit of a sidebar. But I find it interesting that he's taking that route now. I mean, he's been hasn't been an NHL head coach. Well, he hasn't coached since he coached the AHL Chicago Wolves. And I suppose he did coach for a couple games behind the bench after Dallas Eakins got let go and he was there with Todd Nelson. But he hasn't been an actual head coach in 7 years or longer.
No, but neither had Dave King, and he went over to Russia to coach.
Okay.
How long, there was a bit of a break in there for Mike Keenan, and he went to the KHL to coach. I think if you're a coach, you're a coach. I don't think you forget about how to coach. I think in Craig's case, he's from the look of his roster, it's heavily Russian-based players, Russian-born players. Not a lot of Canadians on his team. There's a few Swedes. Anton Lander actually plays for Yaroslavl. And I think Nicholas Gronwell's brother plays for them. He's a veteran. I think it'll be an eye-opener for Craig to coach in the KHL, but I'm sure he's phoned around to a few people and asked what it's like. And at his point in life, he's like 60. I think he's turning either 61 this year. He's probably looking at it, well, there are no NHL head coaching offers coming my way, but this team's offered me a job to coach. Now let's see how it goes. And if it doesn't turn out, it's a 2-year contract and I'll just come back to North America and, maybe get another job with another NHL team in management.
I mean, do you think making such a move, because I would imagine that the likes of Keenan and Dave King, but maybe more so Keenan, maybe they need to have that stage to maybe try to prove to an NHL team, if things work out really well, that you can still do it.
It's possible. I think he just wants to do something meaningful, and coaching is what he's really good at. And I think he was being a little proactive, knowing that, there was no guarantees he would be back as senior vice president of hockey ops with a new general manager coming in. And I think when the idea was presented to him, he phoned around and said, well, maybe, why not? I'm not too sure how that league goes about contacting Canadian people. Mark Gandler, an agent to lots of NHL players, was the go-between when Dave King got the job over there. Mark Gandler contacted him because he knows all the Russian people over there. So that's how he got the job. So maybe Craig, it was the same thing with the agent. But, he's coached more than he's been a manager in the NHL. He was a good coach for 8 years for the Oilers and coached a year in the minors too for Chicago Wolves. So I don't think he's forgotten how to do it, but it'll be an adjustment coaching in Russia for a couple of games a week than it would be coaching the NHL.
Obviously between now and particularly the draft, but from now through till training camp, and we can all expect moves to be made by Ken Holland, and we all know what the Oilers need. They need a lot of things. But like we talked about last week, their position of strength is their defense right now. They're going to be trading from a position a position where you have resources. It's from there. And you got to wonder what kind of deal would be possible. I suppose there's all kinds of things. The rumors du jour, I think of all of them right now, the talk of making a deal along the lines of Darnell Nurse for William Nylander, floating that sort of thing out there. But that's the level of deal we're looking at. Whether Darnell Nurse or you name your current NHL roster defenseman, if it's Klefbom or Adam Larson or
I don't
whoever.
Think they're trading a possible top pairing defenseman for a winger. For a center, yes, but they perceive Nylander as a winger. I just don't see it. Myself.
So they don't need to trade such a asset for a bona fide top six winger?
They do, but not a defenseman, I don't think. You can trade your first round draft choice for him.
That's more palpable.
That makes more sense and a good prospect. But you're not trading you're not trading one of your two best defensemen, I don't think, for William Nylander, who theoretically would be your fourth best forward.
Mm.
If you consider Nugent Hopkins the third best, you're trading one of your two best defensemen for a fourth best forward.
Mm.
And that forward is not a center. He's a winger.
I suppose you do want to have, if you're going to be trading Nurse, Klefbom, Larson, I mean, you want a top line forward.
Yeah.
Like bonafide number one winger. That's what they need.
Yeah. But you can get well, Toronto and Winnipeg are both teams in serious cap problems, which is why they want to trade people like Nylander and why Winnipeg might want to trade Ehlers, both over $6 million a year. In Nurse's case, he makes, I think, $3.2 million this year. So you could be doubling the salary. But like I said, he's you're looking at him right now as one of your two best defensemen. I just don't see it for a winger. And, you know, people throwing out Darnell's name last week. Well, maybe if they put Darnell in the deal with Lucic, they could get rid of all of Lucic's contract. I says, well, no, you're not trading one of your two best defensemen just to get rid of the money, Lucic. I mean, you know, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And I still don't see any team picking up all of his contract. I don't care what kind of sweetener you put in this deal. I just don't see a team saying, yeah, we'll pick up that $6 million for four more years.
No, I mean, I think it's pretty clear you Oilers have to eat. Would have to eat part of that contract.
They have to eat it.
A lot of it.
Up to 50% of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they want to do that. They may as well keep them if they have to, eat, $3 million of that. For four more years, this is going to be the most difficult chore for Ken Holland is to trade Milan Lucic.
That's the Oil Spills podcast for today. Subscribe to Oil Spills on iTunes and Google Play. You can also listen to it via the Edmonton Journal and Edmonton Sun apps and websites.